Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, English language Sprovcabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name is David.
A vous êtes nul, horrible à vous voir. La défense comme les Français contre les Allemands en 40 on laissé tout passer.
And a bonsoir to you.
Bonsoir,
Monsieur
David.
Beaton. What was that about?
I have 2 minutes ago been informed of the existence of FC Sprovcabano France. This is their last tweet. If you would like a translation, it tells me, "You are sucks. Horrible to see you. Defenses like the French against the Germans in 40, we let everything pass."
Wow.
And as we are recording, David, it is currently Prosti of 3, Sprovcabano 1.
Yes, and we sit in the relegation zone. We will give you an update when that game finishes, which is in about 10 minutes-ish, something like that. And
I think there's 20.
Yeah, but I assume it's going to finish at, you know, roughly the same as it is now.
Yes, I mean, just if anyone cares, by the way, sir, it was 0-0 at half-time, and then Prostyov scored in the 51st, 55th and 58th minute.
Superb work. Yes, we've clawed one back, because, apparently we're, you know, it's going to be Prostanbul or whatever.
Claude. Whatever happened to Claude Lotetsky?
I've no idea. Je m'appelle Claude. Yeah, no idea. In other news, i.e. this podcast news, we've only got 5 sections for you today because we're going to rush through the 2 games. We've got sort of previews because mainly you've had a very long day at work and you're off to Bosnia tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's been... Look, it's my bad, listener. I'll rephrase that. Like, if you had to pay for this podcast, I'd feel bad.
Yeah,
but I've had a horrific couple of weeks. I was ill for half of last week as well.
That's
which
true,
has knocked me out of everything. So it's been a bit of a struggle to keep on top of things. So you will accept my apologies, and if not, go listen to Lee Shen cast or whatever.
Yeah,
which doesn't exist because Lee Shen are fucking tiny.
Or, you know, Le Podcast or whatever the French one are doing. Anyway, we've got all your regular sections and a lovely quiz that I'm very much looking forward to giving you. But unfortunately, first of all, we actually have to talk about the football, which will come after this. Since we spoke to you last, listener, we have played 2 league games and 1 cup game. We won the cup game 3-1 against Frenstadt, and it was a normal
game.
Yeah, larger team swiping aside a village, which, you know, is fair enough.
We'll see more of that next year.
Yeah. However, we played 2 league games. We had the Brno derby. That was the first with some of the ultras back and so forth under new ownership. And then we played Sigma Olomouc B away last weekend. We will have a look at the battle for the Shtetl first. Up until that point, past that point, August the 10th was our last non-penalty league goal.
Yes.
And at that point, we still hadn't scored in the league. We drew 1-1 in the end, but that was, again, a penalty.
Yeah. Was it?
Well, we're going to come on to this. We have only scored, up to that point, 4 goals from open play all season. Can you name the players who have scored our 4 open play goals?
Excellent question.
Somebody's
David.
Got 2.
Yep.
And then we have 1 on each of the others.
So one is Jakub Hřešníček.
Yes, the dearly departed little butcher.
Scored a header to win in Tabor.
He did.
I want to say that the second is Roman Potocny.
Yeah, he's the person who's got 2.
2, yeah.
And the other one was on the opening day.
And opening day, who did we play opening day again?
Jihlava.
We played Jihlava and we won 2-0.
We did. One of them was Potocny.
And one of them was Potocny. And I believe another one was brand new scorer, if I recall. Is it a new player?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it Michuda?
No.
Okay. Certainly wasn't useless boy.
Stjepanek, no.
Or other useless boy, the Croat.
No.
Go on, because I'll just be guessing for ages.
Janetsky.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He got that quite neat sort of cut in from the left-hand side.
Yes, it's quite a good goal,
half.
That.
Yeah, it was.
And has shown nothing
and
since.
He's barely been seen since, Anyway, a front three of Kubar, Potocny, and the aforementioned Janetsky was the latest combination, apparently drawn at random from a Scrabble bag of humans.
Yeah.
And for various reasons, we were also missing Novi, Lozhanek, Jambor, Hellebrant, Foster the Person, Svarchek, Texel, and Shural.
Yeah.
Which meant a bunch of... Well, yeah. A bunch of B-team players on the bench, including Peter Stefanotsky, still gamely juggling being the B-team's assistant manager with occasional outings for the A's, as well as playing basically every minute for the B's.
It was, yeah. Did you see any of this? Like, was it on? Were the highlights packages done on this?
I saw a very brief highlights package, okay. And the word highlights is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Sure. So I was subjected to this game.
Yes, you went, didn't you?
I did go.
Where was I? I was in Prague at Horses.
Horses. You were horsing.
Horses.
So I was there alongside Liam and Pavel.
Yep.
And
welcome back, Pavel.
Welcome back, Pavel, indeed.
It might be a brief reunion.
Also, apparently, Burko has a girlfriend. We found this out as well.
What?
Yes.
Burko has a girlfriend, I know. It's serious.
And, yeah, it was poor in the sense of what happened on the field in a lot of ways. What really messed with me the whole game, right, was how that fixture attracts 6,000 or 7,000 under normal situations.
Mm.
And about 3,000, just barely over the 3,000 mark, I believe, came in, which is a bit of a damning indictment on the way that the squad is, the so-called reintroduction of the feel-good factor. But also, I think, just a bit of general apathy within Brno football at the moment. What really staggered me was it was an awful, awful away turnout from Lyssen. There were about 30 people in away end. And I would have thought if I was it's not odd in the sense that as much as Lyssen fans like to pretend, they all support Borovka Brno. And I keep making this point all the time, you know, when they were a third, fourth tier club or whatever, Borovka was always everyone's big team. But if you are a dyed in the wool, being there on the journey, Lyssen fan, season ticket holder, you know, whatever, it's the shortest journey you will have to make all season on a Saturday. And the weather was lovely.
Yeah.
And probably, up to this point, your biggest chance to just put one over Brno.
Mm.
They've won before, once. But this seemed like a real gilt-edged chance, right?
Yeah.
Because Brovka are terrible. Brovka don't have strikers. We can go on. So it was really confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see that because, I wasn't there. I was busy. Yeah. I was busy winning horse money.
Won about 400 or 500 crowns, did you know?
Yeah, coming away 500 crowns richer than I went in. It was
bookie basher David Schmidt. Yeah.
Well, it was mutual friends of ours' birthday, so a bunch of us went up to Prague, and I'm not a betting man. I just put money on horses with silly names.
Yeah,
and through pure fluke, won some money. Then we ate lots of meat and drank loads of beer, and I felt quite full of meat.
I was going in my head, is he going to say content or ill? That was going to be the thing.
Well, that was the thing. I was very content through the sheer amount of beer and meat, but also felt a bit ill through the sheer amount of beer and meat. So, yeah. Anyway.
Someone else who felt ill was me during the whole of the 90 minutes, pretty much. I mean, there's one major highlight in the game, which is it's a nice Lyssen goal.
Mm. Yeah, it's an absolute stonker, isn't it? 25-yard job from the left-hand side.
Just a low place.
Yeah, arrowed into the far corner from Pavel Sokol there. Past the, in my notes, you know, cliche alert, past the despairing Philip Mucha.
So we off the post, I think, if I recall as well.
Yeah,
does
it was
that
really, really nice. Yeah.
Thing. And that was really it, because like they sort of deserved their lead. I mean, let's be real, Zborovka offered nothing. Lyssen barely offered much either. And then we just had a thing in just the strangest second half ever, where you had Peter Stepanovsky playing the whole of the half, rolling back the years.
Mm.
Wasn't really rolling them back that far. He was very average. But average gets you player of the match awards around here these days.
Yeah, it was his penalty, actually, in the 86th minute.
This, sorry, I know you're going to go on, but like, how far have we come as a club where your B team's manager has to be bussed in to come in the second half, and he's apparently the option on the field of all your players going, yeah, this is the guy that I want taking the penalty? Because immediately as we had him standing over the ball, all of us went, oh no. Like, it was just like, it was mental.
I mean, it wasn't a penalty.
It's not a penalty.
The Czech FA have since admitted it was a mistake.
It's a very funny email.
The referee is the wrong side of Mikhail Jarabek, who, it strikes his knee. From the referee's angle, it looks like it might be a hand. It's not.
Did you see the email?
I didn't see the email.
It's all just like, you know, if like in school, I don't know, if you're like, I don't know, you're throwing something at a kid and you have to write like an apology letter to them. It was a bit like that. It was all like, so we are really sorry about what happened during the match. We're going to tell off the referee and he's going to have to miss a couple of games. It's very good.
We're going to make him write lines.
I retweeted it. I enjoyed it very much. But again, Zbrojovka Brno don't score unless there are penalties.
Indeed. Until...
oh, God.
Last weekend, when we scored a goal, the front three, Kronos, Potocny, Šrancsova, come on down. The front line is wrong. And at this point, and particularly as to what's happening today, I think we can all agree that despite having been dealt a very shitty hand when it comes to squad, Jaroslav Hynek is absolutely clueless.
He doesn't know the team at all.
Doesn't know the squad, doesn't know his best team, doesn't know his best front three, doesn't know his best least worst goalkeeper, doesn't know his preferred defence, has no idea what to do with this squad.
When is it time to admit that Mucha wasn't a good buy? Well, sorry, I don't even mean buy. There was no money exchanging hands there.
Well, I mean... he's a step up on Svarček, but that is really the lowest bar you can possibly clear. That bar is buried deep in the soil under Srpska at this point.
Yeah, you need a keeper, but both of them are pretty terrible. Even when things have gone bad before, right? You always had the thing. Well, Zbrojovka always had surprisingly good keepers.
Yeah,
really good keepers. Oh boys, those days have passed.
Thing is, from front to back, everyone looks shot of confidence.
Yeah, as they will do.
Yeah, strikers can't score, keepers can't keep, midfielders can't hold possession, defenders are all over the place. And this loss to Sigma B, by the way.
Yeah.
4-1 we lost. We went 1-0 down after 4 minutes and it took an hour to get back on level terms. And then 3 minutes later, we're behind again.
It's a little bit like the fall of Berlin, David. So you know, like at the end of the war, you've got the Red Army coming in from the east, and you've got coming in from the west. And as a last sort of gasp, you know what the Nazis did to try and defend Berlin was they basically drafted a bunch of kids, but also a bunch of pensioners as well. That's essentially what's happening. So it's like bring in Švancara, Vitreza, get Peter Stepanovsky back. It's turning into that because
give him a rifle and stick him on a roof somewhere. Yeah.
And the rifles don't have any ammo in them either because they've ran out of ammo. That was another famous thing about the fall of Berlin. Ultimately,
this is the best analogy we've ever done, by the way.
Ultimately, the leader killed himself. I wouldn't advocate that. However, things are going really badly, and we have scheduled a podcast on a night that we're playing ostensibly to try and get away from the misery, and I'm still looking 3 minutes, thankfully, as we will take another loss.
Yes, we will finish this day in one of the two relegation spots.
2 points above Jihlava, who I've said since the start of the season have looked shite. They have a game in hand. And Glitzky Tiden indeed.
It's going to have to be a fairly hefty investment in January. I honestly think Hynek is going to be replaced in January because I don't think he knows what he's doing, and I don't think he sort of cares, frankly. I think he was sold this as an absolute bodge job, has come in, realised he can't do shit with it.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be wholesale changes in January. I don't, touch wood, I don't think will go down, because I think they will put enough money and nous into just getting bodies in that we will somehow scrape our way clear.
Yes. this was always going to be an exercise until November in trying to, you know, weather the storm. I mean, it's sticking your thumb in the dike while the whole seawall's collapsing around you, right? And there have been things that have worked like this before. I mean, I'm thinking 3 seasons ago now, it was Victoria Zhizkov ended up buying 18 players in the...
And
they just survived. I mean, I think Zbrojovka... I mean, Zbrojovka... Let's first of all say that Zbrojovka are not too good to go down. We've seen good teams go down from leagues before. I just think, and I think Pavel put a message about this in the group chat, if you got in someone who's a striker, someone who can bag you 10 goals or something like this, then I think there is enough rubbish in the league that we'll be able to keep our heads above water. I mean, Jihlava looked poor. Varnsdorf looked bad. Both of the Sparta and Ostrava B teams looked bad.
And also, don't get us wrong, we do create chances.
There's just no finisher for them.
Absolutely.
And this is it. And then the question then goes, maybe not about bringing enough bodies, but where do you actually prioritise? Goalkeeping, arguably not, though I'd like to see a new keeper in. Striker, absolutely. Defenders or new defenders, I think a must. I think you're looking at people like Stepanek and just exiting them. You know, Kuber, I think, doesn't do much.
Always had a blind spot for particularly central defenders, this club.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Apologies, by the way. I've just realised I've become very hoarse over the past few... very hoarse, and we haven't played Pardubice for a while. There you
might go. Might win 500 crowns off you.
Hey! That's the banter we like on the podcast.
That's the top banter. Do you want to do hot or not?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. It's hot or not o'clock. Tick-tock, it's hot or not o'clock.
Tick-tick, tick-tock. Yes.
Yeah. You go first.
Okay, I have one of each, and let me be clear. I thought of these in the tram on the way up.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's been that sort of week again. So my hot is UEFA ticket price cap for visiting fans.
Right.
So a lot of bad stuff happens in football. A lot of bad stuff happens with the... frankly ridiculous cost of football tickets, especially within Western Europe, possibly with the exception of like Germany and places like that. So on Sunday, St. Johnston played Celtic, 6-0 Celtic, and it was £33 a ticket to watch that game. £33 for the Scottish Premiership. So what's now happened within European club competition, so specific conference, Europa League, Champions League, is there's now a ticket price cap on charging away fans. So you can't basically price gouge them. I think it's something like 40 or 50 euros for Champions League even. It goes all the way down to about 20 euros for the Conference League.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow I am going to Banja Luka in Bosnia, and I am going to watch Borac Banja Luka against Panathinaikos.
Nice.
Now I'm in the home end, so it doesn't really count, right? But my ticket for that match is £17. Last year I went to see Aberdeen play PAOK in the Conference League. My ticket in the away section for that was 14 euros.
Lovely stuff.
So actually, we're going to get to the point, and we were seeing this sort of with some of the clubs like Kilmarnock and St Mirren and so on, you know, doing a little bit in Europe this year, Hearts, of course. It's going to get to the point where actually away tickets and tickets for these European games are going to be cheaper than domestic league games, which is mental.
That is mad,
and shows how much we need to actually rethink ticket pricing these days. But actually, something that UEFA has done for once that actually seems to protect, like, paying customers and supporters, yeah, rather than pandering to fucking bullshit, you know, watch it on the telly, Johnny Come Lately.
Yeah.
Very much for it. So that's why it's my hot. And yes, I will have a good time.
Bosnia. No, good for you. My not for this episode is water.
Okay, yeah. I wonder why.
Since we last spoke to you, listener, there have been terrible floods in this part of the world, in Central Europe, and particularly the Northern Czech Republic, and the Jeseniki region and up to the mountains just north of Ostrava. And it has absolutely knackered Opava's ground.
Match postponed, waterlogged pitch. Waterlogged town.
Yeah.
Like, the whole place is, yeah, really bad.
I don't know what Opava are doing. I assume they're ground sharing with probably Banik, maybe, or somebody like that. But I don't know how they're going to finish their season. I mean, they will finish their season somehow.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's not just that, obviously. It's the Wimbledon having Plough Lane messed up and then crowdfunding, what was it, 50 grand? Which is not a knot. That's, you know...
It was over, you know, 100, because it got... Because Newcastle United gave him 15 grand into the Just Giving page. Aberdeen gave some money. We donated. Other clubs donated as well.
Yeah, Cov did as well, yeah. So, you know, that's nice. But you have to feel for teams like Opava.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's just demolished it.
Did you see the Opava supporters? The Opava supporters who came in to help try and fix out the stadium and stuff like that on Opava's social media. It's genuinely like they've been in a mudslide. It's mental.
Mm.
But so it's really, you feel for clubs like that that run on a reasonably small budget. They're a community club as well, Opava, right? It's very much one of these places where that is your team if you are in that town. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
They don't really have I don't think they're particularly good at hockey or anything like that. It's a football town, Opava.
Yeah.
So having that sort of thing ripped out of your community is heartbreaking.
Yeah. And they are, of course, as we have mentioned before, the one other team after Zbrojovka for like 2 days that is owned by the city's Chamber of Commerce rather than any sort of private equity fund, which we now are owned by. Anyway, do you have another thing?
Yeah, I do have a knot. It's that Sheffield Wednesday prick on Twitter.
Right.
Did you hear about that?
There have been two Sheffield Wednesday pricks on Twitter recently. Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the one after the game where... because it was Sheffield Wednesday against West Brom, where a West Brom supporter died.
Oh, yes, counting the deaths in Leppings Lane.
Yes, and adding them on to the 97 that died at the Hillsborough disaster. So he tweeted this, and in the space of 48 hours has lost his job, because what he did as well was, this was under his sort of name, he was very searchable, so he lost his job. He has been banned for life from Hillsborough. He has been banned from the golf club he's a member of. And I heard unsubstantiated rumours, I want to put it out there, that his wife has left him.
Wow.
Now, also what I find really curious about this is people then going, what he said wasn't right, yeah, but this is cancel culture. Well, I suppose. I suppose it is, right? But if you are stupid enough to, you know, well, first of all, you shouldn't say this shit anyway. It's obscene. And I think, you know, football hopefully is moving on from this. But if you're going to say this under a very publicly viewable profile or whatever, you sort of have to take what's coming to you because
absolutely.
Of this.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like, you know, freedom of expression is not freedom to be held responsible for those consequences that happen.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Really, like, generally out of this, I just want to say, like, can we stop being fuds on the internet? Except when it's me trolling the Lee Shin page. Like, come on.
Indeed. Yeah, what an absolute shit show. Yet another kind of calamitous Sheffield Wednesday thing after their endless endless having a racist go at Casey Palmer.
Did you see? Yeah, also someone dug up his tweets as well previously to this.
Oh yeah,
which also included him directly tweeting Casey Palmer.
Sounds like a lovely chap then.
So yeah, so this has been coming for quite some time. Not an isolated incident, I believe, as the press would call it.
Yes. My hot is an isolated incident so far.
It's about sofas.
No.
Sorry.
Have you heard of Yuri Tsiupa?
No.
There's not really any reason why you should have done.
No, I haven't.
He's a goalkeeper.
Okay.
His career to date is 37 games for Karvina, 8 for Fredek Místek on loan.
That's such a Silesian thing, yeah.
And since then, he's been warming Karvina's bench.
Right.
Right. Until last week, he became the first ever Czech player to play in Africa. He has moved to TS Galaxy, currently ninth in the South African Premiership. And he's already made his debut. He played in a 1-0 loss to Supersport United. And I say, fucking fair play for the lad.
Can I just say, that is someone at a club that took advantage of the free FM24. Like, that is... How does that happen?
I love it, though. That is superb.
Waka, you know, waka, hey, hey.
So, yeah, but, you know, you get that opportunity, and he's grabbed it with both hands. He hasn't even asked twice. He's off, and he's playing already.
That is...
Fucking good for, you know, good for Jirka.
I mean, yeah, fair play.
Yeah. Listen, fair play.
Listen, fair play. It's going to be great. Can you imagine, Kim, hopefully he'll come back, you know, having strengthened his English as well, and he'll just be one of those, you know, people that's moved away and just like completely absorbed the accent and comes back, and it's sort of like, you know, sort of dobry den, dobry den. So you like football, do you? Like, it'll be really good, yeah.
You gotta love him.
He was in South Africa, Andy.
Oh, yeah. South African Andy, yeah.
Fair play.
Guys are Chiefs, you gotta love him. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. No, I thought that was a genuinely interesting bit of, you know, career movement from some sort of provincial Silesian lad.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Good on him.
Yeah, based on that, would you like a lovely quiz?
Yes, please.
Let's do that. Right, based on the aforementioned Yuri Tsiupa's move to South Africa, I have a lovely quiz for you, and it is called African Club or Indie Band.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
You're going to get 10 names of... They're either going to be African football clubs or obscure indie bands.
Oh,
you have to tell
okay.
me which they are. I've removed any FC, SCs, that kind of thing. So if it's like, you know, Golden Arrows FC.
Yeah.
The FC has come off. So.
It's okay, David. I can tell just, you know, right. what you want. You want me to answer a quiz.
Good. Jesus. Okay. Right. From the top then. Young Buffaloes.
Oh, that's so good. Because it's totally both. I think I've heard of this, but I don't know in which context. I think they're an indie band.
You're wrong. They're a football club from Eswatini.
Oh, I'm sure I've heard that. All right, we're 0 for 1.
All right, number 2, Best Coast.
Well, I've seen Best Coast twice.
Really?
They're a wonderful band. I think they're awesome. So Best Coast are definitely a two-person boy-girl duo from Los Angeles.
Very good, okay.
Have you heard their first album?
No.
Honestly, first album's great. You'd actually be really into it.
Okay. I will listen to that later.
Saw them with big Al Beaton. It's cool. The ABC in Glasgow. Great.
Lovely. Number 3, Top Fry All Stars.
Top Fry All Stars.
Yeah.
Football club
from the Rift Valley in Kenya. Yes.
Let's go. All right.
Kuando Kubango. We're really getting into it now.
They're an indie band. They're definitely all white. God. Someone's been listening to too much Vampire Weekend. That's what I say. Once again?
Cuando Cubango.
Band.
Club. Angola.
Okay. No, I didn't. The only one I know is the one that I just knew was a band because I've seen them play.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, there's no other way to play this, really.
Yeah.
Number, what are we, 5? Hetzand View.
Can I ask how you spell that?
H-E-T-Z-A-N-D, and then the word view.
It's sounding a bit South African. I'm going to say they're South African football team.
They're a band, bedroom recorded rap from Canvey Island.
From Canvey Island?
Yeah.
Canvey Island, 1953, many lives were lost along the records of a football team. That's off the third British Sea Power album.
Yes, very good.
There we
yeah.
go. Oh, we're into it now. Look, I'm enjoying this.
Postal 2000. And I can spell postal if you want.
Postal 2000. Did you say post? How you can spell postal, did you say?
Yeah, P-O-S-T-E-L.
There's a team that sounds like that I thought were Canadian. And I was going to go straight into it. Postal 2000 club.
Yes, they were twice champions of Chad in the mid-90s.
Chad?
Yes, of all places.
The Chad Postal 2000.
All right, number 7. Yes. Cap Bambino.
Cap Bambino.
Mm-hmm.
Is Cap spot K-A-P? K-A-P.
All right, check, boy. Yeah. K-A-P, yes.
Cap. Bambino.
Mm.
Is Bambino spelt in the same way that it was Italian?
As the Italian, yeah, child.
Band.
Yes, they're an electro-pop duo from Bordeaux.
Of course they are.
Efterklang.
Esterklang.
Efterklang.
Efterklang. Now, this is... Right, this is the because it screams kraut, doesn't it? It screams kraut rock. But also, there is... Obviously, that history of this sort of stuff in South Africa and Namibia and stuff like that. Efterklang are a Namibian football team.
They're a Danish art pop collective.
Oh.
Klang, the word for noise, sound or noise. Yes. Yeah. Wah-wah. This is spelled W-H-A-W-H-A.
Okay. That's... I'm just going to put it out there. That's a song by George Harrison.
It is, yes.
First of all, on All Things Must Pass, which is, I still maintain, the best Beatles album. Wah, wah. Is it hyphenated?
No. Two words, W-H-A, W-H-A.
That maybe changes things. Wah, wah. Band?
They're a football club based in Gweru, Central Zimbabwe.
I'm so bad at this game, but it's... unbelievable at the same time.
And finally...
Oh, what do you mean, and finally? I could do another 50 of these.
Finally, 11 Angels.
That's absolutely a football team.
Yeah, Francistown, Botswana.
Okay, good. Right.
Yeah. So there you go. That was African Club or Indie Band.
That's possibly the greatest quiz round that we have had. You're right. That is very good. I would like this to be a repeat several months into the future, please, David.
Okay, fair good. Enough. Duly noted. Shall we bureau the podcast?
Yeah, about time.
Okay.
Beer of the podcast. Okay, it's my beer, David, which
so
I
is.
Bought 30 minutes ago before I around the corner before I got here.
Yeah, I love you turning up at my door with also just a plastic, just a pint in a plastic cup that you've got from the pub from, around the corner.
From the good beer doctor,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The good beer doctor.
From the beer doctor.
Because he's like, well, he's just like, do you want a beer and do you want a pint to take with you? And I'm like, yeah, twist my arm. Yeah, so I went in and he was like, what are you after? And I was like, and I literally said to him, I'm late to the podcast, I need a beer. And he said, you can get something seasonal. You could get the you can get this pumpkin beer, or you can get this sort of wet hopped sort of lager. And I was sort of like, pumpkin beer? Absolutely not. So we've got wet hop lager. Wet hop lager. He didn't really understand my response, which was, don't the hops and beer all get wet? This is from Antosh Pivovar, which I believe is in Slaney.
Okay.
Beautiful calligraphy on the
It's a bottle. Very nice label, isn't it? It's very pretty.
750 milliliters, 5.5 ABV, and 129 of your Czech Republic crowns for this one. And I don't really understand what wet hop lager is. So
no, I don't.
So I'm hoping it'll be a pleasant beer. But do you like pumpkin things?
I do like pumpkin things. I actually went for lunch with Dan on Monday, I think, or Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday, because I had to give him his very late birthday present, and they had pumpkin soup.
Oh, yes.
As a start, and I bloody love pumpkin soup.
I don't mind pumpkin soup.
Yeah. But I also like a pumpkin ale as well.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're really tasty.
Because I like a pie.
Yes.
A bit of cinnamon through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't mind a soup. I would put a bit of sweet potato in it as well to balance out the pumpkin, though.
It's always ginger for me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, pumpkin and ginger, lovely. Mm-hmm.
So next on Good Housekeeping, we've got... Yeah. Okay, let's have the... can you smell the wet hops? I can.
The wet hops on the chaise lounge, on the chaise lounge, on the... That's a different wet thing, isn't it?
Yes.
That is a horrible band name, by the way. Wet Leg.
Yes.
Awful. Awful band name.
Good stuff.
Not a massively good band either. But.
Did you see that... You saw that graphic that was going around on the internet where it's like some guy in the pub has shown me his list of band names he has. And they're all called, like, Bathroom Dad. Like that.
Anyway. Wet hop lager. Something clang. Just taste of lager.
And that's okay by me.
There's a slight kind of...
Quite full. It feels quite full.
Yeah, there's a sort of thickness on the end of it. Not sure how to describe it, but yeah, there's a...
Yeah, it's quite meaty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite like that. It's okay.
Yeah, it tastes
special.
It tastes of very little, and then it sort of fills the back of your mouth with, you know, a bit of hoppiness, and that sort of it. It's a perfectly acceptable lager.
Should I go down and just should I run down and get the pumpkin one to see what we missed out on? That could be in 2 weeks, I suppose.
Yeah, we can do pumpkin later. It's October for 4 weeks yet, listener. So I'm sure they will still have pumpkin related things.
There's no such thing as Scotchtoberfest.
You use me, Skinner. You use me. Do you have previews, by the way?
Sort of.
Okay. Do you want to do sort of some previews? Sort of.
Okay.
Previews.
Preview 0.5, because we've got one and then I ran out of time.
Oh, fair enough.
So, but actually, if you consider, you know, what's happening with Zborovka and stuff, who cares? Anyone can beat us. So we'll start with Robson and Jerome Vlashim on Saturday the 5th at 5 p.m. Mercifully, I will still be in Banja Luka, so I will be, using air quotes here, reluctantly missing this one.
I will unfortunately be there, so I I haven't been to a game for a long time, so I feel this is my way of stepping in
for the penance. Are you considering Zborovka like some sort of form of Catholicism?
Yes, I will be. Because
a bunch of young lads keep getting shagged weekly.
No, I feel like I will be flagellating myself angrily all Saturday night, and then I'm going to go to the football.
Hooray! you'll be sad to hear, listener, that Vlashim are looking pretty good right now. So they're fourth in the table. They're playing really well. The only team that have beat them is Zlín, and Zlín is going to beat everyone season. Yeah. Zlín are unbeaten. They're the only team besides high-flying, you have to say that now, high-flying Chrudim. To register
high-flying
Chrudim to register just a single loss. They've only lost once, Vlashim.
And that record will continue at the weekend.
The reason that Chrudim are 10 points above them in second, however, is that in 10 matches, Vlashim have had 6 draws, which is quite remarkable. 4-1-1s, a 3-3 and a 2-2.
That really does go to show the absolute lack of quality in this league where you can be that high up with that many draws.
Yeah. But, you know, and the worst thing is that I'm looking at these 4-1-1s, a 3-3, a 2-2. There's no 0-0 draws or anything like that. And I'm going, oh, no, they fucking score, don't they?
Yeah.
And they do. 18 goals this season so far, which is a really good return after 10, basically. They've scored more than the league leaders. Mm. And the only Chrudim have scored more than them this season. So what they have is they have this duo, Filip Lechi and Jakub Chodek. They've got 10 between them. And basically they're doing what attackers should. And the thing is that they came as a pair from Prague. So they came as a pair. And they've also got Martin Schubert, who joined from Slavia B. And he's also been complimenting sort of as like a far right-sided attacking midfielder. So he's obviously coming in with assists into that.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
well.
He's busy conducting the attack
session.
Yeah,
very good. So this is the concern, because when I did have time to try and do the preview, I ended up like a fucking idiot. I ended up watching Vlashim highlight videos and going, Lord. Oh, they're really good. because some of the goals he's got are crackers, actually. Some of them are just very worked in goals. Like, if you have a team that's working well, is what's going to happen. Yeah. So at the same time, what's kind of mental about Vlashim is that they also just concede loads.
Not to us.
It's a proper Mahalek team sort of thing, you know? Like,
I miss that guy.
It was banter for a while.
It was really good fun,
It was, you know, tell you what, it was banter when it wasn't your team. You saw Leishen do it all the time, and you're going, because we were going to Leishen games quite a bit when this was happening, and it was always like 6-4 every game. He's like, this is class! Like, and boy, have times have changed. So actually, you know, they've scored. Here's what's happening about doing this sort of stuff at the same time as Brovka playing, right? Because I've got here written in my notes, so they've conceded 14, which is only 2 more than 14th placed Zbrojovka. It's not any more. It's 1 less than 15th place Brojovka. So what is kind of concerning about this, though, and this is actually the real criticism here, is that their centre-back pairing, which also is also the club captain's, Karabek, I think his name is, they've been there for a couple of seasons now. So they've obviously not done so much in terms of the centre pairing. And then they've also signed this guy called Petr Kuka, who's on loan from Pardubice as a left-back. And they've got some 21-year-old called Peter Kareem, who's brought in from Imperial FC.
Peter Kareem?
Peter
from Imperial
Kareem.
FC. Right.
Can you hazard a guess where Imperial FC are from?
No.
I only asked that because of the quiz. They're a Nigerian team. Oh, okay. So that like seems to be like an academy team. So I am expecting absolutely nothing to happen from a Zbrojovka perspective. Mm-hmm. And just with that sort of preview, this could easily be a 0-0, just like one of those weird ones. I don't give us much of a chance. Spoiler alert for the rest until the winter break, listener. I don't give us much of a chance in any game that I'm doing a preview for. But I will give you a very, very short one, because I worked out that Sunday, 20th October, is Zizhkov away.
It is, yeah.
I'll probably be at that match.
Yeah, me too.
Because the 19th of October, I'm going to watch the darts, and I'm staying over.
Yeah, so we will probably see each other there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the darts because I don't care about the darts.
You just like one of the best away trips in
exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Breakfast menu, crisp micro-brewed pint of lager.
Yeah.
Never any trouble.
Yeah.
Nice people.
We'll have some lunch. It'll be good.
Seeing that, our last trip to Zizhkov did not end well.
It did not.
4-2, hounding as well, because those two goals were not, you know, totally against the run of play. It led to the entire away end emptying, I think, in the 80th minute. This was then followed up in May by a 2-0 home defeat.
Yes. Yeah.
Zizkov are eighth. So they're solid but unspectacular.
Well, that's enough.
They finished eighth last season as well. They were level on points with Brno, but because it's a head-to-head, they were eighth and we were ninth. So they thudded Opava 4-1 last week, which is probably a season highlight. I mean, considering that, you know, they'd been commuting from Atlantis, I didn't really, you know, expect anything.
Yeah, I was going to say that is a shell-shocked Opava.
A shell-shocked Opava.
Yeah. A seashell-shocked Opava.
Yeah. I thought that joke didn't have any poi-pois, but there they go.
Yeah, okay.
All right, yeah, and that's basically what happened.
Well.
That's what happened with my preview that I said. They're eighth, they're solid and spectacular. They thudded Opava last week. So, again, if there's anything worse than Zbrojovka Brno in terms of performances, it's Zbrojovka Brno away. So this is going to be particularly interesting. Absolutely, the chances of it being either raining or snowing, bracket unseasonably or not, is close to 100%.
Yeah. Third weekend of October, and we're entering unpredictable weather territory.
Yeah. And considering that the last time, or the last couple of times that we were in Zizkov for the game,
it's always been nuts.
It starts off t-shirt weather, and then it starts snowing. It's quite something. But look, I mean, we're having a bit of a laugh, and I'm very unprepared this episode, but I genuinely give Zbrojovka less than zero chance of taking anything right now.
Yeah.
It's just about surviving.
Exactly. We will get through to January and then we'll see what happens. But of course, as we always do, we will keep you up to date both on the podcast and on our social media channels at Sprovcast on Facebook and Twitter. As we said, we're going to try and get a little bit more back into it. Like I haven't been to a game for a while. But I will be at the home game against Vlasheim and we'll both be at the away game against Zizkov. So if you see us around, come and say hello. If you're Liam's students, come and say hello. Don't insult him as a teacher again. He's probably good. What a ringing endorsement that was.
Genuinely, I met two of Liam's older sort of 17, 18 sort of students outside Prumka the other week. And they said, are you the guy that has the podcast? And I sent them away with the podcast. So if you are listening this far in, by the way, I cannot remember your names at all, but hello, and it was nice to meet you.
Good. I also did that with a couple of Jockey Aitken's mates who were very thrilled to find out I was one of the podcast people. So hello to Jockey Aitken's mates if you're listening.
Is that from last Saturday when you played that very good David Schmidt solo set at that festival?
It was not. It was from the time when we auctioned off his paintings in Krumi.
Yes, that was good.
That was also good fun.
Very good artist.
Yes. Anyway, that's that and all of that and all of that and more. So thank you very much for listening, listener. That will be it for this episode. And keep up with us and keep the faith, I suppose. So from us, for this episode, that's it.
Bye. Zrádně klamný, tak se mi zdá. A z něžných slůvek cítil jsem, jak vítr, ostrý vítr, jak prudce vál. Oh,
Tak se mě javí už nic. Ty jsi vedla slůvka něžná, já však cítil mnohem víc. To větný byla cítit, chuť je to pár.